This is the Jump Around with Jim Rutledge, outfitted by Iron Jock, streaming live on the ESPN Madison YouTube channel.
I am the smartest man alive as I pick the Wisconsin Badgers to beat Rutgers. I did not have the score 42-7, but Locktober rolls on, and Braden Locke had a 20 of 28, so over 50% again for him, for 240 yards, two touchdowns, and one interception against Rutgers. I predicted a 20 of 26, 280 yards, two touchdowns, no interceptions. So I was a little bit loftier than what he ended up at, but I was saying that that would be a perfect stat line for Braden Locke, and he came pretty dang close as the Badgers locked down Rutgers. And we got a lot to talk about on today's show. This is the Jump Around 3.0. It is outfitted by Iron Jock. Use the promo code ESPN30 for 30% off all purchases over $50 at ironjock.com. That's Iron Jock with a C. And the Badgers this season have beaten, I do believe, Western Michigan will end up in a bowl game. Rutgers is trending towards a bowl game. So the Badgers, in their four wins, have beaten two bowl teams and lost to two bowl teams as well. Now, the other teams they lost to, Alabama and USC, are at least in the mix for the college football playoffs. I mean, I don't know what their chances will end up being, but it's not impossible that they get there. And I would say, and we got Primetime Warshawn behind the glass, Monte Ball joining the show a little bit later, keeping our run of great Badger running backs with James White into Melvin Gordon into Monte Ball. That was my sweet spot for covering the Wisconsin Badgers, so I know those three gentlemen well, and I appreciate them coming on the show. And actually, Ryan, we had Thomas Hammack, who was their running back coach, now the head coach of Northern Illinois, on earlier. So we've just kind of had a heck of a run here booking that running back room.
When are we getting Coach Bielema? Come on, Jim, don't you have the connection still?
I don't have Coach Bielema.
What?
Was he going to say pig suey?
Well, I mean, maybe. I mean,
you know what he says all the time? Is alls. I hate that term. Alls I know.
Alls I know. Alls I know is that Illinois is wearing leather helmets this weekend.
What?
They're wearing leather helmet jerseys. I didn't want to throw that at you and surprise you, but I just did.
Yes. Explain.
So they're wearing a retro outfit because they're playing against Michigan. They're celebrating Red Grange scoring six touchdowns against the Wolverines back in 1908, or I think the last time that Illinois was good at football. So yeah, I mean, talking about the Big Ten tiers a little bit later on, we'll talk about Bielema's program as well. But yeah, I mean, at this point, we've just got the full deck of that whole team, essentially. The 2010-2012 era of Badgers football.
Would you go over or under six touchdowns in that game, Illinois versus Michigan?
Given Michigan's offense, Illinois's been a pretty good team this year, but...
Well, Illinois, I think they're inflated. Now, this is off the top of my head, but I know they beat a Kansas team, which unfortunately not quite as good as maybe they were predicted
down
to be
here,
in the beginning.
Yeah.
Yes. And so they beat them when they were ranked, but Kansas has lost multiple games since then, and I think they're going to rebuild here. So Kansas victory doesn't look as good. Then they obviously lost to Nebraska, correct?
They beat Nebraska.
Oh, they beat Nebraska.
That was the big game.
That was their big win. You're right. Then Nebraska lost afterwards, and that win does not look quite as special. And then they got taken for all they wanted to be for against Purdue.
50-49 is a heck of a score.
Yes.
So if you're talking about six touchdowns against Michigan, if
that was how many overtimes was it though?
That was one overtime.
Oh, just the one overtime.
That was one overtime. 50-49.
Okay. All right.
So I mean,
it's college football. It's always hard to nail it down. My whole point is, like always with Brett, just remember this. Paper. I got heat when I was here doing the Jump Around the first time around by pointing out that the Badgers were frauds as far as national championship contenders, because Brett would always try to spin this and they'd always say, oh, his record specifically against ranked teams and against teams that he was not favored to beat, abysmal. Pedestrian at best, but below average. The Badgers were really good at kicking the crap out of bad teams like Rutgers
or Purdue.
Minnesota. He would run up the score on Minnesota. So those teams were good, and I would say borderline great, but never like truly elite.
So what would you say about this Badgers team beating two of those down teams by 94-13? I mean, talking about piling it on.
Right now, we're trying to get back to good. We're trying to get back to say this is a good ascending program. And right now, there's nothing wrong with that. Like, when you are someone trying to crawl their way up a tier, and we'll talk about that, Ryan, I don't have a problem with it. Back then, they were up a tier and they would swing down. And they would swing down hard. And they would just kind of bludgeon teams that had no business being on the field with them. And that's kind of how they made their hay. That's not the players' fault. And those teams were great or really good. They just weren't premier, evident by not winning the Rose Bowl, not winning big bowl games with Brett. He didn't do that here. And then when Paul Chris left, the program went off the rails. So that's why I don't want Brett Bielema on this program. And that's why it was sweet last year when the Badgers beat Illinois and Brett cried about it to the point where he tried to get the win vacated. We're not putting anyone on this show, Ryan, that has to go to the Big Ten to cry to mommy because you got beat and you want the win taken away.
You're telling me you wouldn't want to talk to him about it, though?
He's hung up on the show. Used to be called the Badger Hour a long time ago. And he got pushed a little bit by Lance Davis, a former host here and still works for the company. He got pushed on the Badger Hour. I was the producer of that show. And Brett ends every interview when he was with the Badgers with On Wisconsin, except for that one because he hung up because he was getting pushed a little bit. They were having, I think the team was, that was the year they were 7-6, so he was not happy. Mm. And it was 2008 then. I think they're having kicker problems too. And so I think Lance was pushing him a little bit on special teams, like, why don't you have a special teams coordinator? And he didn't like it. He goes, all I know is we don't need that, and then hung up. And, like, cut the interview short and didn't stay on Wisconsin.
Classic Bert. Classic Bert.
That might be the last time I remember him being on our air.
16 years ago now?
Wow. Yeah.
Oh, hopefully he doesn't hold a grudge. He doesn't seem like a guy who would hold a grudge,
Jim. I think he's blocking left and right.
Oh.
All right, so we can move off the Brett Bielema slander. It's too easy. Too easy. But I am happy he's at Illinois because, you know. The Illini are nothing too special. This is the Jump Around, and you can get into the show. Actually, you cannot get in the show. I'm sorry. That's more Jim, Matt, and Molly. But we are asking you now, are the Badgers back? And I would say that they are back in the terms of they are a team that I think is setting themselves up to win 8 games, could sneak 9 with the bowl. And with one upset, get to 10, which is the prediction that I did have on Jim, Matt, and Molly, was 10 victories for the Wisconsin Badger football program. It seemed dire a little bit, Ryan, but it's back on the table. That's where I feel with this program. They have a trap game. This is absolutely a trap game coming up against the Northwestern Wildcats. That is absolutely a trap game, without a doubt. But I think it's a game that we can give Luke Fickell the benefit of the doubt for because the best way to avoid a trap game is having a game against an opponent that basically embarrassed you on your home field like Northwestern did last year to the Badgers. That was a game the Badgers should not have gotten their butt kicked in. That was a game where you could look at the program and say Hunter Wohler stepped up afterwards. Other players stepped up. They started weeding out players who maybe didn't want to be there or coaches who didn't belong there. And the Badgers turned that year around because then they beat Nebraska to get bowl eligible. And then they beat Minnesota to take back the axe. And they had a hell of a performance against LSU. And since that game, before that game, Ryan, they were 5-5. Since that game, they're 6-3. Now, that's not a juggernaut, but they're 6-3 with 2 losses against top 10, 15 programs in the country. So I think Badger football is back on the come up. Are they all the way back to where they were when Monte Ball was running behind all those offensive linemen who were great pros? Absolutely not. But I think they're absolutely getting closer as well. And the run game is a big part of it. The offensive line is a big part of it. And I am very happy to see this team building up leads and using the run game to set up the pass. Because Braden Locke has been electric, but he also electrocutes you. You know, he's got the 4 touchdowns. He's got 3 interceptions. He is always touching that third rail, and sometimes it's a good jolt, and sometimes it's a little too much. And I'm enjoying it, but their bread and butter, if you really look at what's making this team go, it's Tui Walker in the run game. 292 yards, 6 touchdowns over 2 games for Walker, the last 2 victories. Dupree is someone that's coming on more to the point where he's been added as a or starter with Katie Accomelli on the depth chart, and I think that's important for him. And the Badgers have had 13 gains of at least 20 yards over the last 2 weeks. And they entered the Purdue game with only 9. So they have...
Which was, by the way, last in the country at the time.
Yeah, I guess that was
they're not... They're now at 101 in the country, though, after the last 2 weeks.
I wonder where they were, and I'm not going to ask you to look this up because it's unfair, but I wonder how, over the last 2 weeks, I wonder that 13, what that looks like.
The 13, I mean, considering they jumped up 30 spots along that list...
I bet it's top
30.
Yeah, for sure. I agree with you on that. This is the Jump Around 3.0. I am Jim Rutledge. He is Ryan Primetime. Waldersheim. We are brought to you in part by Simden Chevy in Mount Horeb. You're only minutes away from a better buying experience at Simden Chevy in Mount Horeb. What is a better buying experience? A better buying experience is a experience that is something that is specific and unique to you, and you can find out that better buying experience at Simden Chevy in Mount Horeb. Now, the Badgers have a interesting run coming up here, Ryan, and ESPN Analytics now give the Badgers, who are 4-2, an 85% chance to get to 6 wins. Now, I want to start with that part of it. After Tyler Van Dyke went down, and I kind of reset the expectations for this team, and then they lost Chez Malusi, and obviously Chez was not the player that they thought he was going to be, but still losing a guy that you were kind of banking on being productive, and he just wasn't because he wasn't physically able to be productive anymore. That was still a kick in the shins. They've found something in the running game. They've found a palatable passing game. And now this team has an opportunity to do, which I think, Ryan, was the bare minimum. And honestly, the new set expectations. So for me, anything over 6 wins, I'm going to be super excited about for this Badger program. And they are getting very close, 2 wins away.
I mean, if they get to 6 wins, they get the bowl game. That is, like you said, the bare minimum. And that's what I think it would take to feel good given what their schedule is this year and given the fact that, yeah, they lost their week one starting quarterback, considering what expectations were after the Bama game and after the second half against USC. I was expecting them to miss a bowl at that point. Everyone was. Now, the fact that over the last 2 weeks, their odds have jumped this far up. I mean, after the Purdue game, they went back up to a 56.2% chance. After that Rutgers game, it's now 85%. So you can see how massive these last 2 weeks have been, whether or not the team's back or back. Either way, their odds of getting back to the bowl and extending that streak to, I believe, 23 years, incredibly high. And I think, like you said, I think getting 8 wins is almost the expectation now for the rest of the season, regular season.
8 wins, to me, this season's an A.
I would agree with you. Yeah, I mean, considering that that means they've probably just lost to all of the teams that they were not expected to beat going into the year. Mm-hmm. And then they beat all those teams that, like you said, back during the Brett Bielema era, those are the teams they beat and they were supposed to. Same with Paul Christ and same with, you know, Barry Alvarez before that. You handled the business against the teams you were supposed to. And especially for a program on the come up under Luke Fickell, if you're at least staying with some of those big programs, like especially the USC game, this Penn State game coming up, I mean, that means a lot too, even if you're not winning those games.
If they get to 8, and including the bowl game or not, that means they increased their win total from year over year with a harder schedule. And they still got their quarterback.
Significantly.
And their quarterbacks actually played less this year than their starting quarterback did last year. That is growth. That is a program that is building depth. And that is a program that is building something forward. That's also a lot of putting the cart in front of the horse. The Badgers are 7-point favorites at Northwestern. That's Northwestern Medicine Field at Martin Stadium. Thanks, Ryan, for pulling that. 12,000 fan capacity. The Badgers have a 70% chance of winning. Wisconsin is 2-6 in Evanston. It's just a gross place to play. But if you're going to go down to Northwestern and win, this is here to do it. One, you are playing in a different type of stadium. There's not going to be a lot of juice there, and I think that works against the Badgers. But when you are coming off the last time you faced this Northwestern team and they put it on you at home and you were embarrassed and those players are mostly back, you're going to remember that. So I think that is very much in the Badgers' favor. And Ryan, all I want out of this game is win by 7 or 10 points. And it is, we are locked and loaded and excited for Penn State homecoming, Halloween, a night game. The excitement
will be through
the
roof. Are the Badgers looking forward to that too? Are they looking forward to the Penn State game? Or like the idea of this being a trap
Northwestern game? I think the fact that what Northwestern did to them last year helps them avoid the trap.
I'd agree. Because the way that they felt, I remember I was still going to the post-game media interviews for players after those games all of last season. And that game, the post-media session after the Northwestern game, most somber area on the McLean Center field I've ever felt. Number of players like showing their emotions, actually trying to hide their emotions behind sunglasses, those sorts of things, very gritted teeth from guys like Hunter Wohler, like you said. Mm-hmm. I would imagine that, honestly, a 7-point spread is obviously what Vegas expects because when you look at it on paper, that's what it should be. But I would expect them to want to go out and win by 20, 30. They might want this to be the biggest win that they've had over the last 3 weeks. And I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility. If they're bringing the juice the way that they're supposed to, again, even in this tiny stadium, it could be the game where you really feel like, oh, this feels like the old Badgers football team I remember.
And then you have I can't – I want everyone to feel the excitement, especially those who are a little bit younger than me, in the idea that obviously at 44 and – what was it, 6, 7 years ago? How long ago was it with Russ and Melvin? Is it 8 years ago around that time?
That would be 2011 now, so that's 13 years ago.
Jeez. So I want people to feel that excitement. It won't be all the way there, but if the Badgers have 3 wins in a row, night game, Penn State, the Halloween festival, the whole homecoming, everything happening, Madison will feel like we're in a party like it's 2011. Like it'll be amazing.
I'm pretty sure Monte Ball, our guest coming up today, is going to be an honorary captain for that game, too. So, I mean, just all the vibes.
Yes. Love every bit of that. We did ask Badger fans, are you back in on the Badgers after Rutgers? 35% said yes. 38% never left. So, 27% of you said no. Haters. And then we asked on Jim, Matt, and Molly on Wednesday, what grade would you give the Badgers this season? 56% of you said B. That is a winning grade. Go be a winner. Go to Ho-Chunk Gaming Madison. That's where winners go. Millions of dollars are won every single weekend at Ho-Chunk Gaming Madison. And
I will say, Jim, it was 56% said C, actually.
Oh, I read that wrong. Okay, I have B. I'm just going to give everyone my score.
Just a little bit of bias there on your hand, I would say. 38% said B. 56% said C.
All right, well, you should have said B, all of you.
So I would say, averaging it out, it's a C-plus right now.
All right, that's fine. And Molly Brown and Jimette, Molly gave him a B-minus. So
feels like the right range. If they get a dominant win against Northwestern, I think it's an automatic. Now it's a full B.
Yes, I think even just a solid win gives them a solid B-minus. Like, we're feeling good about the program. We have Monte Ball, as you alluded to, coming up in a minute here. But before we get to that, Ryan, on the Jump Around 3.0, we have Primetime's tiers that we want to get through as far as elite, good, mid, and bad. And that's the Big Ten program tiers. Let's get to that on the Jump Around here.
So I put this together last night. We've been talking about, you know, even when Brad Norton was still on the show with us for the first few weeks, talking about the tiers of the Big Ten. Where do the Badgers fall in those tiers? I've thought about it a lot over the past few weeks, and especially this past week, watching some of the big matchups in the Big Ten. USC taking on Penn State last weekend was incredible. And then obviously the Oregon-Ohio State game comes down to the wire, final play of the game. And now those two teams were number 2 and 3 at the time. I believe that at this point, Ohio State's now number 5. Oregon is now number 2. And it's just like, how far away are the Badgers from being able to compete on this level with these teams? I mean, obviously USC, Penn State on the schedule this year, Oregon as well. It made me think that when you think about the Big Ten right now, there's the three elite programs of Ohio State, Oregon, Michigan. I still keep Michigan in there because they're on a down year, but it's the first year without Jim Harbaugh and they just don't have a quarterback.
And they won a title last year, so exactly. You probably got to keep them up there.
You have to keep them up there. And if they find a quarterback, I think that's going to be a really good program again in no short order.
Can you throw that back? Okay, so looking at this, I agree where you have everyone here.
So then in the good tier, it's Penn State, Iowa, USC. The mid, and I base mid off teams that are going to make a bowl game every year, just not a very good bowl game. They still have expectations of winning records. Mm-hmm. Washington, Wisconsin, Illinois, even though Burt's there. Indiana now, because they've gotten off to a very hot start with Kurt Cignetti. So that one might be a little early, premature. But then Nebraska has shown that they're different now under Matt Rhule. And then the bad programs, the teams that I just don't expect to make a bowl each year, Minnesota, Rutgers, Northwestern, Maryland, Michigan State, all of them in states of flux.
And UCLA and Purdue would be non-bowl teams too. They are at the bottom tier there. So not that you have to knock one team out to climb up, but Wisconsin getting to Iowa is not, I don't even think that's out of the realm this year, depending on what Iowa does. But if the Badgers get to 8 wins or if they pull off one of these upsets, now you're starting to feel like they're in that tier. Because the one thing for the Badgers is that the way they're playing right now, especially defensively, and I know it's the opponents, we have to account for that, and we're going to find out against Penn State, but they've allowed one touchdown over the last 2 games. They shut down Rutgers' rushing attack, which was a really good rushing attack. And this defense and offense could set themselves up. Now, they might not have this player, but realistically, back in the day, we would say the Badgers, the only thing holding them back outside the Russell Wilson year from winning the national title was their quarterback. And I think if they finish this year with 8 wins or 9 wins, if you include the bowl, and we'll have to see what Braden Lock becomes, but that team feels like it'd be a team that's a quarterback away. Because, yes, you lose Walker, and you already lost Malusi, but you lose Walker, maybe you lose Green. You're not losing top-tier players as far as playmakers off the top of my head. Without being able to replace them, you have Dupree, you have another good class coming in, and all of a sudden, you get to that number, that 8-9 wins, and you have another top recruiting class, and the team looks like it is a team that you can be excited about. Well, that is something that I think Badger fans can get behind. And then all of a sudden, you're feeling like this program can jump into the Tier 2 and stay there for a long time. This is the Jump Around 3.0. We are, again, brought to you in part by Ho-Chunk Gaming Madison, Simpton Chevy in Mount Horeb, and Iron Jock. We are going to be joined by Monte Ball briefly, right, soon?
In just a couple minutes. We're waiting for him to join right now. He's getting accustomed with our video stream. It's a little different on the Jump Around now compared to back when you were hosting the show. What did you say, 16 years ago now, Jim?
That's probably when it first started. So as we are just tuning in, and again, you can listen back to today's show, Wisconsin on the Man, Apple, Spotify, and those great places. Obviously, we're on YouTube as well. We're streaming live on YouTube at 12:30 every Thursday. And it's exciting for us to be able to do this. But I did this show, and it started a long time ago with Tom Lee, who covered the Badgers for BadgerBlitz.com. And then we brought in Lamar Soup Campbell for a while on this show. Then I was off the show for a little bit, handed it off to someone else. Then the show kind of died for a little bit, and we brought it back now. So we're very excited about bringing it back. And, you know, one of the guys that I think when this show was in its heyday, one of the guys we talked about a lot was Monte Ball, a NCAA record holder. And obviously, he's been a part of our programming here on ESPN Wisconsin plenty of times as part of Wisconsin College Game Day. And he interacted with some of our poll questions that we've been asking. So we stumbled into this. And I think it was just off the top of my head, I wanted to ask James White who he thought the best running back in Badger history was. And he went with Melvin Gordon. So then I stumbled into the question with Melvin. And then he went with JT. And there's a guy, Monte Ball, who is pretty, you know, remarkable as far as a running back and a record holder. And it does speak to the overall talent of this program where Monte, where, you know, he's got his, you know, Heisman, you know, All-American, Heisman-type season, right? The caliber season there from him, amazing. And we're going to ask him who he thinks the best running back in Badger history is. But I'll let him share his list, but I would like to point out that this list can include someone, and we always forget Alan Ameche, and I'm sure the olds are upset about it, but whether it's Alan Ameche or Ron Dayne or Monte Ball or Melvin Gordon or James White or JT or Braylon Allen, Corey Clement's forgotten, and there are so many good running backs. Brian Calhoun only had one 2,000-yard year at Wisconsin, so he's just forgotten. So it's crazy what kind of setup we have here on at the University of Wisconsin. We'll take a quick break here, and then we'll get to Monte Ball. This is the Jump Around 3.0.
You know what really gets me? A man who knows how to stay fresh. No matter how hard he works, how much he sweats, he's always clean, always irresistible. That's why I love a man in Iron Jock. Their gear doesn't just fit. It hugs all the right places. And the best part? No odor. Ever. So guys, if you want to leave a lasting impression without the lasting odor, slip into Iron Jock. Trust me, we'll notice. Shop again, again, and again at ironjoc.com.
Ironjock.com. You can use the promo code ESPN30 for 30% off your order. This is a Jump Around 3.0, and now we are thrilled to be joined by another Badger legend running back, future College Hall of Famer, Monte Ball. Monte, good to see you.
What's going on, man? How we doing?
We are doing fantastic. The Badgers are winning. They're running the ball. It's not quite shades of the days when it was you and James and Melvin, but you have Tui Walker. You have Dupree making some plays. You have Dylan Jones, a youngster. I don't think it's too far-fetched that 2 or 3 years from now, maybe Dupree and Jones are talking about how Tui Walker set the tone for them, and now they're finally reigniting that torch of Badger running backs that, you know, Braylon kind of passed down, and obviously you as all these backs continue to pass it down. But how do you feel about the state of RBU and the Badgers running game over the last few weeks?
Oh, I'm excited. I'm excited. First off, Jim, thank you for having me.
Good to see you, buddy.
Always wonderful to get back. Really good to see you. Yes, yes, yes. I'm excited. I'm honestly really excited about this team. Yes, it's unfortunate, of course, that we fell short against Bama, fell short against USC, who we should have beaten, right? We should have walked out of, we should have flown out of Southern Cal with a win. We most definitely should have. But I'm excited about this backfield, right? I think I'm starting to see us really get back to this ground and pound game that we're familiar with, really set the tone on the line of scrimmage. And I'm really liking that guy, Yakimeli. Yakimeli, hopefully I'm saying it correctly. Yak, I like to call him.
Yeah, it's a good nickname.
I'm telling you, even whenever Chez was here, nothing against Chez. Yep. Whenever that guy would get in and I would see him, I'm like, okay, we need to see more of this guy. We need to see more of this cat right here because he's awesome.
And, you know, speaking of Chez for a minute there, and you're a running back, you played in the NFL, you played for the Badgers. Injuries are something that you have to work through. So you could kind of understand Chez's mentality of, as the Badgers readjusted the playing time and he's so hurt, that the amount of work that he probably had to put in. And I think he's a poster child for why the NIL works too, because he is someone that was getting some endorsement money. And good for him, because he obviously was putting his body on the line every single week, and he just kind of said, you know what, I don't want to do it anymore. So there's no, I don't think, any ill will for Badger fans for that. It's a lot of respect for him trying to do it again this year and play through injury. But then also, he's a great example of why the NIL is important, because he's someone that is so injured he couldn't finish college his college career. So I'm glad he was able to make some money while he was at Wisconsin.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah, there are some, you know, the whole nil and transfer portal, right, is messy. It is messy. A lot of coaches aren't fans of it. Obviously, you got some old heads, right, that some unicorn coaches that left the game because of that reason. But there are some silver linings for it, right? And I think this is one. Chez's situation, obviously, I haven't had the opportunity to speak to him. He shared, of course, what his reasons were. And I'm for that, right? Who am I to say that this guy should have stayed in, should have stayed with his team and played through injuries and stuff? He's got to protect his body, protect his mind. And so I do wish him the best. But as a program, we got to move on, right? We got to move on. We got to keep chugging forward. And I'm liking what I'm seeing right now from this backfield. I really am.
Tell us about, and we're talking to Monte Ball, the horrors. Now, you're not playing at Ryan Field, but the horrors of playing at Northwestern.
It's boring. I'm sorry. I'm just going to get straight to it. Jim, you know one thing with me, right? I'm a straight shooter. Yeah. I'm always going to say it. I'm sorry. I think it's a wonderful program. Let me start off by saying that, actually. I'll preface this with saying that. Great program. Obviously, there's a lot of history there. Loved what Fitzpatrick did when he was there, right? He's not the coach anymore. But I actually have a lot of respect for that program. But it's boring. And I think that that works in their favor, right? You go there, it feels like a high school, smaller football game. It's gloomy all the time, and honestly, it works in their favor, so we can't fall asleep there. They'll allow you to sleep there, and we can't do it because they will sneak up on you.
Yeah, Badgers, Ryan had the number for me earlier. It is gross. 2-6 games in Evanston.
Since 2003.
Since 2003. Like, that's the Badgers' heyday, and they're 2-6.
I lost there. Was that in 2009?
I think I was at that game. Was that the game? I think John Clay got a decent amount of carries there. But was that? I think there was a game where there was something with, like, maybe Hank Witts kind of knew some of your signals. Like, I don't know if he picked up on them. There was something I thought with the little defensive coordinator from Northwestern kind of knew a little bit what you guys were running. Or maybe knew the defensive signals. One of the two, yes.
This is the first time that I'm hearing it. Again, playing, right? It's always block out the outside noise. So we weren't listening to anybody, but they had our number. I put it this way. I wouldn't be surprised, because they had our number. We were by far the better team on paper and on film. And we were playing some good football. And it was actually, I wouldn't be surprised. And again, I want for this team to understand that, yes, this is a beat up Northwestern, but again, you don't want to go into there thinking that you're going to just immediately walk out with the win, because they will sneak up on you. That's a tough place to play. It is.
When was the last time you played in front of 12,000 people? Because that's a capacity in their new Northwestern Medicine Field, which is kind of an adjunct stadium. It's a beautiful setting. Like, you're right on the lake. I can't imagine. Hopefully the weather's not horrible, because otherwise that'd be nasty to play. You probably get the lake actually hitting you, the water hitting you in the face as you try to play in that game. I mean, that's a practice facility. It's honestly like playing a game at the McLean Center, but outdoors. Yeah. So when was the last time you played in front of 12,000 or less fans?
Wait a second, Jim. Yeah. When was there water there?
Well, their Ryan Field is being rebuilt. And so they've moved out to their new practice facility, which I think they were building that in 2009. And so they've basically, using like basically a practice field to play these games for the next 2 years.
Understood.
And there'll be some games at Wrigley and some games at Soldier Field as well, but not this one.
Makes sense. I'm all things Badger. I should have known that. But last time that I played, you're talking last time I played in Northwestern.
No,
right?
Yeah, 12,000 or less, I'm asking. When was the last time? I mean, that's probably high school.
12,000 fans?
Yeah.
It would have to be against Northwestern.
You're right.
Because I would say high school, of course, we were getting upwards to 4,000, 5,000. And that's, you know, bigger games, night games. But I would have to say it's Northwestern. But again, all respect to that football team, to that program. But we should walk out with a W. And as a fan, I'll be disappointed if we don't.
Monte Ball, future College Football Hall of Famer, on the show, Badger Hall of Famer. And Monte asked the question of Melvin Gordon, asked the question of James White. And you have to remove yourself off this list, because otherwise you have a strong case to be at the top of it. I know you shared this on social, but share it with us here on the Jump Around. Who are your top five running backs? Give the list first, and then we'll walk through the reasoning for it. And Monte, if you're going to put yourself on the list, you got to put yourself higher. But anyways, go ahead.
Yeah, okay. Right. I love the exercise, because I love the fact that, you know, you're asking Melvin Gordon, you're asking James, right? Some guys that are absolutely phenomenal, were phenomenal for the Badgers, right? We can't put ourselves on the list or put ourselves high on the list. So the list I shared was Melvin Gordon number one, Ron Dayne number two, JT number three, myself number four, and I can't remember what I tweeted out for number five. Oh, obviously, AD, yes. I'm going to stick with that. AD for number five. And I'm very comfortable with that list. I know it's I'm going against the grain, right? Of not having Ron Dayne as number one. He does have the hardware. He does have the stats. I understand all of that. But when we talk about what Melvin Gordon was able to do with, I think upwards to what, 630? Let me check my stats, Jim. Upwards to 631 fewer carries than Ron.
Mm-hmm.
And he had to share a backfield with a future Hall of Fame, College Football Hall of Fame. So, I'm impressed. I'm very impressed by Melvin Gordon, what he was able to do, honestly. It's impressive.
It's the yards per carry that I think it does sneak by a lot of people when he – he came in second at the Heisman, and you know about going to the Heisman ceremony as well. But to rush for 2,587 yards at 7.5 yards per carry, his career average of yards per carry is 7.8, is insane. It is absolutely insane. Yours is remarkable at 5.6, and obviously your Heisman caliber season, where you had multiple Heisman, but your record setter season, 1,900 yards, 6 yards per carry, 33 touchdowns on the ground, and then obviously you had 39 total touchdowns, and that was a pretty impressive season as well. That's the 2011 season. Now, I did joke.
Keep going, Jim.
So Melvin did hint that him and James felt like when they got the ball that year, they had to take it in from further out, because if it got in the red zone or got close, Brett was really hyper aware of getting you your touchdowns. Now, obviously, you still had to get in the end zone, but I think those touchdowns did come at the cost of some of your teammates.
Absolutely. I tend to, and this is something that even, that's why I'm super close with those guys still. We all have a humble bone, a lot of them in our bodies, right? I mean, let's be real, right? Ron Dayne, of course, impact player, greatest, I mean, phenomenal. We don't even have to talk about that. He knows that. Melvin, same. James, same. Myself, same. Obviously, JT, Braylon. These guys have done all great things. But for me, honestly, with what you just said, what are we talking about here, right? If we're not putting him at number one, again, no disrespect to Ron, but Melvin should have won the Heisman.
Yeah.
We all know that. 2,500 rushing yards, no offensive line, 29 rushing touchdowns, if I'm getting that correctly, right? 7.8 yards per carry. Come on.
He had 32 total touchdowns. He only came seven short of your number.
Come on. And he didn't have, you know, the linemen that I had. Again, if I had to redo this list and put myself at the top, I put myself at the top.
Yeah.
But let's be honest here. Four out of my five offensive linemen were the highest paid in the NFL once they went on.
Yes.
So if Melvin had those linemen, come on, come on. What are we talking about, Jim? What are we talking about here?
And I do – I mean, you obviously were the bell cow for, I would say – It's hard to give it to a team that didn't win the Rose Bowl, but unquestionably the most electric and explosive Badger team, I think, ever, and a team that came really close to being a national championship contender and really close to winning that Rose Bowl. So you being the bell cow of that is truly a remarkable feat for you on that team. But you are right. Melvin coming in second there. It is funny. And, you know, Monte and Ryan, you can chime in on this. It is one vote difference, one spot difference in that Heisman. He gets the Heisman, and Melvin is unquestionably, and nobody's even looking side-eye at you if you say he's the best Badger running back of all time.
It's a real shame.
Thank you.
Yes.
And I say that, and I appreciate you saying that, Jim, because I'm not just saying this because I know the guy very well. I mean, if you want to really keep the integrity of the sport, that position, obviously, being more specific, look at what he did. And the Heisman is all about opinions, right? My season in 2011, I didn't even win the award that goes to the best running back in the country.
Right.
None of that stuff matters. Mm-hmm. It doesn't. Yeah, the Heisman is the Heisman. I understand that. But my point is, Melvin, we all know, should have won the Heisman over top of what Mariota, I believe it was.
Yep.
He most definitely should have won it. And if he did have the hardware, what are we talking about then?
You're right, and you did get a Doak Walker. You did end up with that award, and so did Melvin during their time. And it is one of those things where, and I hate, like, because we just did an event with Ron, and Ron told a lot of stories about how he's pulled, you know, and we saw Melvin pulled in the fourth quarter, and you were pulled in games. Like, there are stats that could have been accumulated that could have been even higher, and Ron definitely could have had even more yards. It's almost like you almost could do the little bit of, like, obviously, it's just the easiest comp, but like the LeBron and the Jordan thing of, like, Jordan at his peak, like Melvin at his peak in the singular season and seasons that he had, better than Ron, but Ron's career and being able to do all of that and accumulate all those yards with not a lot of everyone knew the ball was going to Ron. I mean, there was no.
Sure.
I mean, I don't know if I'm 100% right on this, but I swear they were talking about a game where they only threw the ball three times in the entire game. And so, I mean, there was definitely games where they threw the ball less than 10 times. There was no secrets. I mean, they might as well just, I mean, and Ron was so green, Monte, that when he got here, he told the story before, his fullback, Cecil Martin, had to tap his hip to tell Ron which side to run to. So they would get up to the line, and then Ron would be behind him, and he would just tap his hip, and that's where Ron knew where to go. Because Ron had just gotten here, he wasn't supposed to play this early, and then they needed him to play. And, I mean, he put up some crazy numbers as well. So we got to give Ron – we give you your flowers.
Absolutely.
We'll give Melvin his flowers.
Absolutely.
We'll give Ron his flowers as well. But it really is almost like the longevity of a career as opposed to the peak of a career.
I agree. And that's why this is always a tough conversation because, again, all these guys I love to death. I think these are wonderful human beings, obviously amazing football players. But if you honestly had to ask me, without putting myself at the top, that is my list. Now, a different list, I'm putting myself – oh, boy. I can't contradict myself here. I got to keep the integrity, right?
Yeah.
I got to go third. Okay. I got to go third.
Okay.
I got to go third. Melvin and Ron, still with the impact they had, the stats they put up. Yes.
If we did the NBA comp, though, Monte, that makes you what, Kobe? You know, it's Jordan, LeBron, and Kobe. Like, if you want, you know what I mean. So, however you want to look at it, you know, that's just the way you can break that down for yourself. So, you know, sometimes you go to the school that, what I would say, 98% of the schools, you're unquestionably the greatest running back of all time, but. That's part of the reason you go to RBU because you want to create a legacy, which means you might be a college football Hall of Famer and be viewed as the third best running back in school's history.
That speaks volumes about where RBU is. It's not Georgia. It's not Bama. It's Wisconsin, because exactly what you said right there.
I wanted to pick your brain on, and I asked Melvin about this too, is Ashton Gentry. His running style too, the way he stands, and there's been a lot of internet memes about it, and Ryan's got it up there where he looks like Michael Myers is the one that I've seen. He looks completely disinterested. And Monte, I'll ask you what Thomas Hammock would tell you if you stood like that in the backfield, and then talk about trying to run with that sort of stance out of the backfield. Now, he's a smaller back. He is 5'8" or 5'9". So, and if 215, like he, what, and he, it's not like, it's more of a Barry Sanders build for him.
Of course, absolutely. Extremely impressed with that guy. Extremely impressed. Obviously, we see folks, the non-sayers online saying, well, if he's not playing anybody, well, he put up 200 yards against Oregon, mm-hmm. right? And Oregon's ranked, what, second or fourth or whatever they are now in the country, right? And yep. So he's a very impressive running back now.
He's averaging 10 yards per carry. Like, I don't care who you're playing. 10 yards per carry.
And it's consistent.
1,248 yards rushing and 17 touchdowns. We are halfway through the season, so, Monte. Yeah, so.
It's ridiculous. It's disgusting numbers. Very impressed with him. Now, with that stance, Thomas Hammock would be absolutely disgusted in me. Because, for one, he would ask me, well, what is the benefit of that stance? Now, I believe that Ashton's Genty, right? Genty's, yep. The purpose of it is you're sacrificing immediate explosion out of your stance for recovery of the legs, right? Less fatigueness of the legs. So standing straight up, you're not in a bent knee position. You're not flexing your quads. You're not flexing your thighs. And I mean, he's going to get, what, 2,000 carries this season? So, I mean, he's got to make sure that his legs are safe. But very impressed with that young man. I know it's between him and Hunter for the hardware. I love Ashton. Got to give it to the running back if he continues. Absolutely impressive numbers.
And, Monte, before I let you go, the Badgers, they're halfway through the season. I think they're going to come around at 8 wins. You can include the bowl game in that if or not. Where do you kind of see the Badgers landing now? And what number will you make you feel comfortable and excited about the next step for the program?
Eight wins. I think that's it right there. 8 wins. I think that's doable for this team. I honestly believe so. The way that we've been really just managing and actually, excuse me, taking control of that line of scrimmage recently is very impressive. We fell short to USC by many different reasons, but I just hope that once we gain the momentum like we did against Purdue, we keep it, call what's been working, look at the stats, right, to see which plays have been producing the best in the first half, second half. Eight wins for me, and I think moving forward, this team, right, can be a lot better than what I believe a lot of people think. I really see this team doing well next season.
And Monte, thank you so much for hopping on. Before we let you go, obviously you have your book. What else are you up to?
Yeah, what's up, man? Just last thing about the Badgers. Again, yeah. I'll be there. I'm the honorary captain for the Penn State game.
You're gonna come really by ESPN, then come by our tailgate and say what's up. Then I hope.
Yeah, I'll be there.
Awesome.
So very excited for this season and these guys and how they're able to come back. Honestly, really am looking forward to the Northwestern game. But for me, what's new? I'm missing the game a lot, and I'm ready to get back. Just going to leave it like that.
Okay. So exciting news to come from Monte Ball.
Excited to get back to the game.
Fantastic, man. Monte. Thank you so much for hopping in. Great to see you. Great to hear from you. And don't be a stranger.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me, Jim. Really appreciate it.
That is Badger legend, college football legend, one of the greatest running backs in the history of college football, Monte Ball, on the Jump Around. This has been the Jump Around 3.0.